Our first reading this morning is going to come from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. We'll be reading from chapter 58 of the book of Isaiah, beginning with verse 9b and reading through verse 14. And it's found on page 675 of your Bibles. So this time let us listen to God's word for us. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interest on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interest or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Our gospel reading today will come from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from chapter 13 of Luke's gospel. We'll be beginning at verse 10 and reading through verse 17, and it is found on page 952 of your Bibles. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with the spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. And when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things he was doing. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. When I was in the Army, we used to have a tech officer who was never able to make the physical training formation early in the morning. He used to have to be in the office early before everyone else, and so he was never able to make PT. So what he would do instead is he went out and he found a great big rock, a big boulder, and he put it in his rucksack, and he would fasten that rucksack on his back, and he would walk with that big boulder on his back to work every morning, at least about a mile. He would walk from the officer's billets to the headquarters building with that great big rucksack on his back. We used to crack up whenever we saw him because he was not a very big person, kind of slight, but he had this big sack, and when he would walk all the way stooped over, and we would just laugh because we thought it was so funny. But of course, there's nothing funny about the burdens that many people in our world are forced to carry. Burdens that they carry day after day and year after year. In our text this morning, Jesus meets a woman with such a burden. It takes place, we are told, on the Sabbath, and Jesus is in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he is teaching in the synagogue, and for some reason, whenever you read the New Testament, the gospel readings, you notice that Jesus is always getting in trouble on the Sabbath day. Always getting in trouble on the Lord's day. Early in Luke's gospel in chapter 4, Jesus is in his hometown on the Sabbath day, and he preaches his first sermon on the Sabbath, and it is about releasing and setting people free, and everything goes well. But then quickly things go south when Jesus reminds the people gathered there in the synagogue that God loves not only them, but God loves the whole world. But Jesus reminds them that it's about what he has been about. It's about freeing and setting free and releasing. But now it's the Sabbath again, and Jesus is once again in the synagogue. And as the people are gathering there for worship, he notices a woman who comes into the synagogue, and she is doubled over, bent over, a woman who is totally bent over. For 18 long years, she has been in that same condition, bent over. Maybe it started at first as just a slight bend. And then as time went on, it became worse and worse until she was totally bent over. Totally weighed down. I suspect that some of us too have been in that condition. Some of us too have perhaps been weighed down. There are lots of things that can do that to you. There are lots of things that can double you over, that can cripple your spirit. Sickness can do that to you. Cruelty can do that to you. Oppression can do that to you. Poverty can do that to you. In Jesus' day, one of the major problems for the vast majority of people was debt. They had to endure crippling debt. Debt would sometimes cause them to lose their land and to have to serve as slaves. And so they were very much concerned with crushing, crippling debt. Indeed, in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, the one that we prayed this morning, one of the petitions of that prayer is that we be forgiven our debt. Pray, says Jesus, that your debts are forgiven. And when Jesus talks about debts, he's not just talking about the debt of our sins, but he was talking about the very real debts that doubled people over, that weighed them down in his day. Perhaps we know a little bit about that too, about debt in our own day and age. Many people are up to their eyeballs in debt. Many people find that that's the only way that they can maintain an acceptable standard of living is by going into debt. We don't know what exactly this woman's problem is, but we are just told that she has a crippling spirit. She has been in bondage. She has been doubled over. And she is not able to become straightened up. She needs to be set free. But the good news is that Jesus is in the place of worship this morning, and Jesus actually sees this woman. I've always noticed that Jesus readily sees the kind of people that everyone else tends to overlook. He sees them not as problems or failures or sinners, but rather he sees them as people whom God loves. People who are children of God. He sees them as people who are in need to be set free and liberated from all the demonic powers and influences that weigh them down. And that's what Jesus comes to do. He comes to set us free. And that's what he had come to do for this woman. He comes to set her free. It's interesting that this woman doesn't ask to be healed. When you read the gospel narratives, people often flag Jesus down. They want to be healed. Jesus, can you heal me? Can you heal my daughter? Can you raise my son or my daughter back from the dead? Can you get this demon that's invading my body? Can you exorcise it? But this woman doesn't ask for any of that. Maybe it's because she believes there's no hope. There are people like that out there. They believe that their burdens are too heavy even for Jesus to lift. No one can help me. My burden is just too heavy. Or maybe the woman knows that it is the Sabbath, and according to the rules, healing is not permitted because healing is work. And everyone knows that the Sabbath is a day when there is to be no work. But Jesus sees her, and Jesus takes the initiative, and Jesus calls her up. He sees her just as Jesus sees each and every one of us. Just as he sees what's going on in your hearts this morning, whatever may be weighing you down, whatever might be causing you concern, whatever burdens you might be carrying. Jesus sees it. He sees you. But Jesus calls this woman up, and the first thing he tells her before he does anything else is he tells her, "Woman, you have been set free. The crippling spirit that had a hold of your life, the spirit that had you and held you in bondage, it no longer has any authority over you. You have been set free. You are free to become the person that God desires you to be." I wish that was the end of the story. With this woman being liberated from whatever it is that held her down. But it's not. Because we are told that the synagogue leader is incensed. And I don't mean to pick on the synagogue leader this morning, because I know exactly where he's coming from. We clergy types, we understand that we get one day out of the week, one day that belongs to the Lord. And today we don't even get that. We get 1 hour. It used to be that people spent all day in church, but now we only get 1 hour. 1 hour in which to dedicate ourselves to the Lord. And there are all kinds of encroachments and people who want to encroach on that 1 hour. So I can readily understand the synagogue leader when he says, "You have 6 days. 6 days in which to be healed. 6 days in which you can do anything else you want to do. You have 6 days. But this one day that has been allotted to God, it belongs to God. No work, no work on the Sabbath, no work of any kind, no working, no digging, no healing, nothing. This is supposed to be the Sabbath." And remember the Sabbath, Jesus. Why can't you remember the Sabbath, for God's sake? Of course, it's not that Jesus doesn't remember the Sabbath. It's just that Jesus has a different understanding of what the Sabbath was always about. Many of you are aware that there are two listings of the Ten Commandments, one in the book of Exodus. And that's the one that the synagogue leader is referencing. That's the one where it says, remember the Sabbath, because God worked 6 days creating the world, and on the seventh day God rested. Therefore, you are to rest on the seventh day. So remember the Sabbath. No working. But then there's also the listing in Deuteronomy 5, where it says, remember the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath because you were once slaves. You were once slaves in Egypt. You were once slaves working 24/7, slaves without any rest, slaves without any kind of relief before God liberated you, before God set you free. And that's what God did. God came in your moment of need. God came when no one else could help you, when no one else could liberate you, when no one else could save you, and God set you free. So remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. In other words, for Jesus, the Sabbath was about liberation. It was about freedom. It was about loosing. It was about setting people free. What better day to heal and to liberate than on the Sabbath? Jesus often accused the officials of his day of being so concerned with the rules that they failed to take notice of the very real suffering that was going on all around them. They failed to take notice of the many ways that people around them were being weighed down and held in bondage. And I have to confess that an awful lot of the time I'm more like the synagogue leader than I care to admit. A lot of the time, that's what I'm concerned about as well, or the rules. The rules. Remember the rules. I've noticed that's true with a lot of people, especially people in authority. What matters is the rules. The rules, they tell us God is concerned about the rules. God is always watching and looking and making sure that we keep the rules, the commandments, the laws, the rules. That's because people in authority are always concerned about rules and making sure everybody obeys the rules. But God is not so much concerned about the rules. God is concerned more about all of us. God is concerned about you and me. God desires nothing more than to liberate all of us from all of those demonic forces that cripple our spirits and hold us bondage. A couple of months ago, Howard was showing the youth a film based on the centuries-old classic of Pilgrim's Progress. Many of you who know the story know that the protagonist in the story is a young man by the name of Christian who strikes out on a journey. And day after day, as he progresses along the journey, he finds that he has a burden on his back. And the burden keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger until finally it bends him over and he can't walk without being totally bent over. Can't straighten up, can't look anyone in the eye. The only thing that he can see is his feet totally bent over, carrying that burden. But then he gets to the foot of the cross. And it's there at the foot of the cross that he is released from his burden, the huge burden that was weighing him down, the huge burden that wouldn't allow him to look anyone in the eye. It suddenly falls off of his back, and he realizes that he is set free. set free from his bondage, set free from his burden. And for Bunyan, of course, that burden represented his sins. We all are people who have sinned. We are all people who have fallen short of the glory of God. And the burden is the burden of our individual sins, our individual shortcomings. But they're also the burdens of the sins of others, the burdens that we carry, that weigh us down, burdens that we suffer because we live in a particular world that saddles us with burdens. Sometimes they are the burdens of indifference. Sometimes they are the burdens of poverty. Sometimes they are the burdens of hatred. Sometimes they are the burdens of abuse. But Jesus comes to set us free. He comes to set us free from all of those burdens. That's what Jesus did on the cross. He came to liberate us and set us free from everything that defaces our humanity and prevents us from being the human beings that God created each and every one of us to be. Every healing in the Bible is a foretaste of God's ultimate healing of the whole world. And so the healing of this woman is not just about her own individual healing, but it's about God's promise to heal and redeem and liberate the whole world. That's God's promise. One day the whole world will be set free. That's what Paul says over in Romans 8. The whole world right now is groaning under the travail of sin, but one day the whole world is going to be liberated and set free. Think about that. A world set free from violence. A world set free from greed. A world set free from hatred. A world set free from hungry children. A world set free from women who are abused. A world set free from discrimination. A world set free from war. One day, the whole world will be liberated and redeemed and set free. And that's what the resurrection is all about. The resurrection of Jesus is the foretaste that one day the whole world will be liberated from everything that defaces it and prevents it from being the place that God desires it to be. Of course, our Sunday gathering is not about a Sabbath. When we gather here on Sundays, we are not observing a Sabbath. Our Sunday gathering is a place where it's a time when we come together to acknowledge the new creation. It's a time when we come together to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and to live as the new creation people that God desires each and every one of us to be. Sunday for us is the Lord's Day, the day of celebration, the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, the day of the new creation when we gather together to live that new creation that God has resolved to bring about one day in the future. You and I are called to live that out now, to celebrate that now. But it's important that we remember the Sabbath. It's important that we remember the Sabbath because the Sabbath is God's commitment to liberate each and every one of us, and it's God's commitment to liberate the whole world. The Sabbath is about redemption. The Sabbath is about liberation. The Sabbath is a reminder that one day each and every one of us will be set free, that we were all at one time or another slaves to sin, slaves to the sins of others, and God liberated us and set us free. And so the purpose of the church is to be about the business of helping to continue that work of liberation and freedom that the Lord Jesus Christ has already began. I like what the woman does once she is healed. Once she's been set free, once she's been straightened up, she now has a new perspective. She's no longer limited to looking down at the ground. She can look out at the people around her. She can see Jesus eye to eye. She has a new perspective, a new understanding of life, and she begins to praise God. She begins to praise God. Hallelujah. I've been set free. And that's what the Sabbath was always about. It was always being set free so that we could worship God, so that we could begin to live in to the new creation right now, so that we could begin to celebrate the fact that one day God's presence will be all in all, and the whole world will one day be set free. Friends, remember. Remember what this day is all about. Remember who we are and what we are all about. We are sons and daughters of God, sons and daughters of Abraham, people of faith, people who trust in a loving and gracious God who has promised that one day we will all be free, that the whole world will one day be free of everything that defaces it. And you and I are called to go out and live that out right now. We are called to do the same thing that the woman does in this text. We are called to go out and say, hallelujah! Hallelujah, praise God, we have been set free. Look at us here, the people of God, we have been set free. No more hatred, not among us. No more greed, not among us. No more indifference, not among us. No more exploitation of one another, not about us. We have been set free. Free to love each other, and free to love God with all of our hearts, minds, and souls. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you. Thank you that you have relieved us all of our burdens. The burdens that separate us from you and separate us from one another. You have set us free. But you have set us free not to do whatever we want to do. You have set us free to worship and to praise you, and to love one another, and to continue your work of liberation and redemption, of binding and loosing. We ask, Lord, that you help us through the power of your Spirit to continue on that journey. Help us to remember the Sabbath. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.